Today we want to look at this thought. If we desire to operate in the power and the wisdom of God, we must be totally devoted to a lifestyle of prayer. Don't take that lightly. I'm telling you right now, that is the truth. We talked about Elisha last week. It says plainly he was a great mighty man of God because even though he was a man of like passion, he prayed. And I was back, we lived on a farm and we had a small mountain right in the middle of that farm. It's a fantastic place to go pray. I call it my Mount of Olives. You know, I go over there and pray. And I was over there praying one day, and the Lord spoke to me clear. I still hear it like it wasn't audible, but I could hear it in my spirit, man. I can still hear it like it was yesterday. And he said, if you're going to accomplish my will for your life, you will need to pray 3 hours a day. That's why it's my goal to pray 3 hours every day. He said, well, how in the world do you get anything done praying 3 hours a day? That is the way I get things done, is praying 3 hours a day. When you begin to pray and seek God, he multiplies your time in all kind of ways. Sometimes he'll just show up and help you. And you need to put him to the test and have your prayer time every day. And I believe with all my heart, every born-again believer needs to pray an hour a day. When Jesus was about to be crucified, he asked his disciples to pray with them, and they fell asleep. That's what a lot of us do. When we start praying, we just fall asleep. And he said to them, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? What does that tell you? 1 hour is important. If we want victory like the early church had, we must be devoted to prayer. We read the New Testament. Oh, boy, I wished I could have lived back then. You can have that kind of power now if you're willing to be a doer of the word. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Devote yourselves to prayer. Wonder what that means. We need a preacher to write a book on that to explain what that means, don't we? If you can read English, you do not need any help to understand that. Devote yourselves to prayer. Praise the Lord. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. If this wasn't important, I wouldn't preach on it. And I preach on it pretty often because we really need to pray. And a lot of people don't pray because they really don't know how and don't have a prayer pattern. I put out a prayer pattern years ago, and it wasn't my favorite, so I just quit putting it out. But I've had people tell me, you need to put that out again because it's good. Other people seem to appreciate what I do more than I do. But it wasn't me in the first place. I felt like it was the Lord. You see, be devoted to prayer and keep an attitude of thanksgiving. You're not praying just to always be begging for something. Can you say amen? You're thanking him and praising him and loving him and adoring him. The Bible says singing and making the melody in your heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, rejoice always. Wonder what that means. It means rejoice always, no matter what's happening. We must come into his presence with rejoicing and praise. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. I try to get prayed through in the morning, get that peace in my life, and then try to keep that attitude of prayer and thanksgiving all day long. Even praying in Knoxville traffic. If you're going to drive in Knoxville, you better be praying. Can you say amen? Yay. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. What? In everything give thanks. It doesn't matter how bad it is. You can find something to thank God for. Somebody say amen. Well, I ain't got anything to thank God for. You walked in here, didn't you? That's something to thank God for. You see, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. It's God's will for us to pray without ceasing with thanksgiving. That's God's will. Say that's good. In every... depressing situation, find something to be thankful for. 1 Timothy 2:8, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. We must have godly, righteous hands by asking God to cleanse us with his blood. Can you say amen? And pray for what we need without fighting for it. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, I'm going to get that if it kills me and everybody. Listen, you pray and believe God, and he'll give it to you. You have not because you ask not. And, of course, God expects you to work and do some things. But at the same time, when you hear from God, God makes it happen. Prayer and pray and let God fight your battles. James 5:13, is anyone of you in trouble? Is anybody here today in trouble? Don't raise your hand. But God already knows it. Now look what it says. He should call a lawyer. Should call a preacher. Should call a doctor. Should call the church know-it-all. What does it say? He should pray. Is that what we do? Not very often. We worry ourselves to death and we talk to everybody. Oh my God, hold on, what I'm going to. You should be talking to Jesus. Should be talking to Father God in the name of Jesus. Are you in trouble? Pray until you have the victory inside, and then it'll manifest on the outside. I drove to Pigeon Forge this week for a private prayer time, and the devil, he has a way of always attacking me too, just like he attacks you. My van, when I got where I was going, it was over an hour away. My van, the engine started quivering all over. And I said, oh, Lord, I'm an hour away from home. I haven't eaten anything in 4 weeks. I'm stranded an hour away from home. What in the good Lord's name am I going to do? Hey, I'm preaching this. I was in trouble. Can you say amen? And I looked over at the gauge, and it was, the temperature gauge was as high as it could go. What, 260 something degrees? I thought, I am in trouble. And I've been fasting and praying almost nonstop. So I was praying on the way out there. And when that happened, I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And something just said inside of me, it's going to be okay. I'm taking care of it. And I went in and talked to the manager. I've got to know the manager of the hotel where I was staying. And I try to find the cheapest place. Can you say amen? But this is a friendly place. And so I told him the problem. I said, I need a bucket and I need some water. So they asked for the maintenance man. He came down with a bucket, got water or giant pitcher, and put some water in it. The radiator was totally empty of water. I don't know where that water went. I keep it serviced, and they're supposed to be checking that. You say, amen. And I thought, well, maybe I threw all the water out on the way here. This may be worse than it even appears. So he filled, put some water in it, and it started up, and it ran like it did when it was brand new. I thought, what in the world? And he told me a service, is a shop where they have some good mechanics, evidently, right there in Pigeon Forge is where it was. And I drove it over there. I called first and said, can you help me with this van? I said, absolutely not. I said, I'm backed up 2 months. I can't do anything for anybody else. I said, look, this is an emergency. I need somebody to check this antifreeze. He said, well, if you bring it over, I'll do that. So I drove over, and he was sitting in the lobby waiting on me. He came with antifreeze, opened the thing up, and put quite a bit of antifreeze in it. So start it up. I started up. It ran like it did when it was new. And so I drove it back over to the hotel, and I'm thinking, I still got to drive this thing an hour to get back home. And so Friday I drove all the way back home, not one problem at all, parked it in the driveway. And when it cooled down, checked the water, and the water antifreeze is right exactly where it needs to be. Now, I know that's a miracle, but the greatest miracle is that God spoke to me and gave me peace. I spent 3 days there not worrying about it because I had peace inside. That's what prayer does. And sometimes peace is more important than anything else. I asked God to help me, and I knew in my spirit He was taking care of it, even though it looked totally impossible. You run an engine that hot, I mean, you almost for sure going to have something. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they asked, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. I don't care what a tough long ranger you are. You need other people to agree with you in prayer. Amen. The prayer of agreement is one of the most powerful forces on earth. And that's why you want a preacher that preaches on prayer. Because when you ask somebody to pray, they know how to pray and they know how important it is. And they will pray for you. People in this church will pray for you. And it works. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. We're not only to pray for ourselves, but we're to pray for all the saints. You say, well, I don't know any saints. Well, He calls us all saints. We're all saints to Him if we're born again and washed in His blood. So, well, I don't act like no saint. Well, everybody knows I do. Except for lying. None of us act like saints all the time. Can you say amen? But we're covered in the blood, and all we need to do is apologize to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us, and He will. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. What does that mean? It means all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests, and keep on praying. On good occasions and sad occasions and bad occasions, pray through them all. Verse 19, pray also for me. This is St. Paul asking people to pray for him. Listen, if he needed people to pray for him, this guy right here needs people praying for him. Amen. That's why I ask you to pray for me all the time, and I mean it. I said, well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to be prayed up and fired up. We still need people praying for us. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. If you don't like the words coming out of my mouth, maybe you need to pray that God would give me the right words. See, I just put it back on you. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul says, pray for me that I will have the right words and preach with boldness. James chapter 6, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another. And I don't think you should go around telling all your dirty stuff. Can you say amen? Most people don't hear it anyway. But what he wants you to do is humble yourself. Don't pretend to be something you're not. That's why I confess my things, because I don't want people to thinking, well, he's better than me. I am not better than you. The difference, if there is a difference, it may be that I just pray a little more. James 5:16, confess your transgressions to one another and pray one for another that you may be healed. You see, if we want to be healed, we must humble ourselves by admitting we're not perfect and pray for one another. We're told to keep on praying. Keep on praying. You see that? This is what it means to be devoted to prayer. You keep on praying. Prayer comes first. Listen, prayer comes first before we mess everything up. That's the reason I want to get up early and pray before I leave the house. Get a hold of God before I mess everything up. Can you say amen? Amen? And trust Him to lead me and guide me all day long. To have a successful prayer life, we must be devoted to the Word of God as a part of prayer. Don't miss that one. If we want victory like the early church had, we must be devoted to prayer. To have a successful prayer life, we must be devoted to the Word of God as a part of prayer. I do not pray without the Word of God. I read it and pray, read it and pray. Or I have a promise book and read those promises and pray. Or I have a whole bunch by this time in my life memorized, and I pray from memory the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So meditating on the Word produces faith. You need to do more than just speed read it. Do not speed read the Bible. Meditate on it. Allow the Holy Spirit to quicken it to your heart and talk to you through the Word of God. Proverbs 4:20, my son, my daughter, attend to my words. Incline an ear unto my sayings. This is it. This is the way you do it. Verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for their life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Is talking about the Word of God. My son, attend to my words, incline an ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from before thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, memorize them. Keep them in the midst of thine heart for their life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Most of the time, I believe in laying hands on people and praying for people. I pray for people all the time until I get victory, and I know God has healed them, worked a miracle, and it may not be healing, whatever it is. But most of the time, when I've been healed or delivered or anything else, I'm meditating on the Word of God. And something comes from that Word of God, quickens my heart, and I'm healed and restored, whatever. The Word of God is the most powerful thing you'll ever touch. It's real. Verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Praying and meditating on God's Word is a major part of doing God's Word. When you give and when you pray and when you fast and when you meditate upon God's Word and when you go to church, can you say amen? We need to be a doer of the Word. When we say be a doer, a lot of people think of all the don'ts. Don't do this and don't do that and don't do the other. If you'll do the do's, the don'ts will take care of themselves. Amen. Can you say amen? Yeah. This is how we produce faith. Many are trying to stand in faith without first receiving faith from the Word of God. People say, well, just believe God. How are you going to believe God when you just believe? You got to have something to believe. Amen. Here's something you can believe. Well, the Word of God is boring. The scriptures I just read you, are they boring? Nope. I don't think so. It's the devil telling you the Word of God is boring. For they life unto those that find them in health to all their flesh. Many are trying to stand in faith without first receiving faith from the Word of God. This is the way we produce and maintain unwavering faith is through the Word. The various scriptures I'm praying. A lot of times when I'm preaching, I'm praying those same scriptures and believing God that they're taking place in my life not right now. And everything, give thanks. And I say, oh, you said give thanks. So I spend some time thanking Him and praising Him and adoring Him and pray without ceasing. You just keep on praying. Well, I don't feel anything. I'll keep praying anyway. Amen. You just do it. Do the Word. And it works. When it seems not to be, especially when it seems not to be working, it's working. That's called faith. You believe it's working when there's no evidence it's working. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by what we see, not by sight. If I went by sight with that van, you know, I'd had it towed in and wasted 3 days, can you say amen, trying to fix the thing. But I wasn't going by what I saw. I was going by what I heard. And here we live by faith. You see, that was faith. The Holy Spirit speaking to me on the inside produced faith, a confidence, and a peace. We live by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Well, this just doesn't look good. The doctor's report was terrible. The circumstances, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Stop saying stuff like that. You're focused on the problem. You remember when Peter sank walking on the water? When the storm blew wind in his face, he got focused on the problem. He was walking on water in a storm of lightning probably going off, and he got focused on the problem and he began to sink. You can't focus on the problem. You focus on the Word, especially the Word that God's quickened to your heart. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not just preaching this to be preaching this. The Holy Spirit's quickening some of these scriptures, or one at least, I think, to everybody's heart in here. And when you feel that, you say, here's the way it goes. Oh, now I see. When you get a verse like that, you memorize that thing. Get it in here. And when the devil shows up, quote it to him. Isn't that what Jesus did at the end of the great temptation? He said, Satan, it is written. It is written. Three times, it is written. And then he said, be gone. He could have said, I'm the Son of God, you bug out of here. But he was living and operating as a man. And he did it so he could show us how to do it. And that is, you quote scripture to the devil and tell him to go. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What is unseen? The promises of God. For what is seen is temporary. You know, all those scriptures I was quoting, the scriptures I was quoting during communion, you may not see them, but they're real, and you believe them. Can you say amen? You believe that he is. You may not sense it or feel it, but he believe he is taking away your infirmities and your sicknesses and your pain. And believe he's working to make you whole. But on what is, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but whatever is unseen is eternal. The promises of God are eternal. If we want our prayers answered, we will fix our eyes of faith on God's word and our revelation words, the no-so words, the quickening of his word to our heart that we've received. We focus on that rather than the circumstances and the symptoms. We pray over the word until we receive a personal no-so word or until God quickens a scripture to our heart, and then we believe God to honor his word and do what he said. The Bible uses Abraham as our example of faith. Abraham was not naming and claiming what he desired. He was believing and acting on God's promise to him. That I'm going to give you a promised land. And I'm going to give you a son. And you're going to have descendants. You're going to have nations come from you. And he and Sarah, and the promise was to both of them, if you read it. And they didn't have one kid together and couldn't because she was barren. And now she's past childbearing age. And God says, I'm going to give you a baby. And Abraham and Sarah both believed it. At first, Sarah laughed, and then she believed it. Can you say amen? Sometimes you hear a word from God, you may laugh, but you better quit laughing. Can you say amen? And say, if God said it, he can do it. How more impossible do you get than promising a couple, she's 90 and he's 100, promising them a baby. And she's been barren her whole life, and she's past childbearing age, been through menopause. How more impossible can you possibly get? But it says Abraham did not allow any doubt or unbelief cause him to waver. Or doubt. He just kept right on believing. Amen. And he got the baby, Isaac. Can you say amen? Amen? He refused to allow the circumstances to cause doubt. Mark 11:23, truly I tell you, whoever. Now people says, well, it was those apostles that had all that power, speaking to demons and devils and mountains. Let's read the word of God, see what it says. Truly I tell you, whoever. Didn't say apostle. Didn't say preacher. Didn't say preacher wannabe. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. Jesus Christ said that. Well, what am I supposed to do with that? Believe it. Amen. According to Jesus, speaking to our mountains is a necessary part of prayer. Jesus says we are to speak to our mountains and believe that God will move them. Now you leave the Smoky Mountains alone. I need them. I like to go there and pray. It's talking about the mountains in your life. Even temptation, addictions, strongholds, bondages, spiritual infirmities, sickness, disease. You can speak to those things in the name of Jesus and tell them to go. And Barry Cupperson didn't say that. Jesus said it. I'm just quoting him. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted you, and you will get it. You say, well, how do I get that kind of faith? I told you the way I do it. I pray until I get a faith, and then I know I got it. I prayed over this sermon for hours. And by this time I have notes on prayer, and so I had a lot of notes up, but I went through that, I prayed, and I twisted this and twisted that and fixed this and fixed that until I got my spirit. This is exactly what God wants for the people today. I got a know-so in me, and whether you know it or not, I know this is what you need to hear. You don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. You need this. Okay. I prayed until I knew it inside. Can you say amen? And of course, the devil tries to tell me you can't keep preaching and fast, can't keep doing all these things. And I'm telling you, devil, I can. God called me to do it. He didn't call me to do it to fail. Can you say amen? And you, he says, whatever you ask for in prayer, say whatever. Ask for in prayer, trust and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. I keep praying until I'm confident it's granted to me and that I've got it in here. Whatever it is, God fixed my van so I could drive home and eat anything in 4 weeks, and I don't need to be walking an hour. Oh, it'd be more than an hour, 50-something miles. And it says, and you'll get it. This is a personal word from Jesus Christ, every one of us. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident, and keep believing and being confident, and keep praying until it gets in you, until you know it's granted to you, and then you can believe it and know you got it, even though you still don't see it. We can pray and meditate on God's word until we know his will. This is what I feel like God's called me to do, is take these things and make them very simple so it's easy to do and easy to remember. Can you say amen? Very few preachers preach like this, but God wants me to enable you to pray and seek God and have miracles left so you don't need a preacher. Well, God's ordained preachers, and they always have a purpose. Can you say amen? And God does use preachers to give us inspired word from heaven and all that, but we need to learn how to get a hold of God ourselves. Preacher, you got a word for me? Go get your own word. If I give you a word, you're probably just going to say, well, I don't like that word. Get your own word. Then hopefully you'll like it. Sometimes God gives me words I don't like. So don't be surprised if he does that to you. You see, we can pray and meditate on God's word until we know his will. We know what it is. I can't believe God for something unless I know it's his will. So I pray until I get a know-so in here. I pray until the Holy Spirit drops a word in your heart. Then believe that you are receiving it until you have it, no matter how impossible it may appear. You see, God reveals things to those who devote themselves to prayer and his word. God reveals things. Jeremiah, I started lunch into a long story. I got to move on. You need the scriptures more than you need my stories. I can illustrate this. I've spoken to storms. I can tell you, I have seen unbelievable miracles, but it was always in the best interest of the ministry and doing what God wanted me to do. Can you say amen? He don't go around moving mountains just so, you know, you can have an easier life. And, of course, if it's a big problem, he wants to fix it so you can do what he called you to do. Say amen. But anyway, when you're doing God's work, and if you're a plumber, or a ditch digger, or a lawyer, or whatever. That's God's work, if you're honest and doing a good job. Can you say amen? And he wants to enable you to do it and cause you to be healthy and well so you can do it. Why would he give you a job and then make you sick so he can't do it? What kind of God would that God be? Pray until the Holy Spirit drops that faith in your heart. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call upon me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You see, God will reveal things to us when we devote ourselves to prayer, and he'll work miracles for us. Call upon me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's the truth. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and demanded that his wise men, his magicians and sorcerers and wise men, he demanded that they tell him the dream and the interpretation. They said, wait a minute. No one has ever asked their wise men to interpret a dream without telling them what the dream is. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I know what you're going to do. You're going to make up an answer. You're going to make up an interpretation. And so I know if you give me the dream, then the interpretation you get will be right. He wouldn't tell him the dream. And he says, set a time, and he says, if you don't tell me the dream and give me the interpretation of it, you bunch of lying hypocrites, and I'm going to kill every one of you. Now, he didn't see all of that, but if he had been eloquent like me, he would have. What in the world are you going to do when you get a situation like that? And sometimes life can get that confusing. What in the world am I going to do? I'm tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that I get an answer from God and meditate on his word that he starts talking to me. And sometimes it may take a while, but that's okay. It's better than a failure. Can you say amen? Call upon me, and I'll answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 16, so Daniel went to him, Nebuchadnezzar, and asked the king to give him time. Time for what? Time to pray. Okay. Give me some time. He says, so Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. He says, you'll give me a little time, I'll get it. That's the kind of calmness he had in prayer. And that was his only plan to pray. He needed time to pray. In verse 17, then Daniel went to his house, made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azaziah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the other names that we mostly know them by. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which were all his companions. And he basically what he was saying is, guys, agree with me. We got a problem. If the Nebuchadnezzar kills the wise men, that includes us. And they were children of God. God protects his own, even if you have to protect a few crooks with you. Can you say amen? Notice they got in agreement, verse 18, that they might seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. We think we got problems? Nobody knows what I'm going through. Have you ever been crucified? Jesus knows what you're going through. Verse 19, then the secret was revealed to Daniel. God gave him the dream and the interpretation. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel. Now, these stories are not just to make you feel good, a good, exciting story. These are designed by God to tell you what you have in Jesus Christ today. You have a source of information and wisdom and direction that other people do not have. What do we say? If you desire to operate in the power of the wisdom of God, if we desire to operate in the power of the wisdom of God, we must be totally devoted to a lifestyle of prayer. These people, the first thing they did was go to prayer. They didn't sit around and talk to the other wise men all night. They went to prayer. They talked to the wise man. Amen. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel. in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Verse 22, he reveals deep and secret things to those who pray. That's what he meant. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells in him. How many know that is the truth? Verse 23, you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you. You have the same source of wisdom and power and ability that Daniel had available to him. Also, the same power that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to them. You see, there was no one who knew the dream except the king and God. But God reveals things to those who are devoted to prayer. I've got all kinds of stories and examples here, but I don't have time for them, so God maybe in some other time. Okay. We do not have a problem that cannot be fixed in prayer. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. Listen to this. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, how many knows a time appointed and the man wants to die, and after that the judgment? Well, the time of your death is up to you and God. Sometimes you can talk him into a little more time. And if you live ungodly, sometimes you can shorten your life. For example, disobeying your parents. Obey your parents as you might live long on the earth. Can you say amen? Moses disobeyed God, and God shortened his life. He did not get to go into the promised land. But Hezekiah, he's been a man of God, and he prays. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. That evidently was his appointed time, even though he wasn't very old at all. But Hezekiah says, well, I got prayer. Give that a try. Verse 2, then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember me, O Lord, I pray. Now I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. You see, this is what we call the effectual fervent prayer. He was serious. He had work to do. He didn't want to go at this time. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, Hezekiah's been praying, and I want you to go back and give him a different word. Verse 5, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. Well, I don't know if God's hearing me or not. You said some big old dirty cuss word, he'd hear that, wouldn't he? He's hearing you. I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your hearts. Seen your tears. Truly, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city. There's also a threat from the Assyrians. He says, and I will deliver you. And he said, I'm not going to heal you so the Assyrians can kill you. Yay. He says, I'm going to heal you, and I deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and will defend this city for my own sake and the sake of my servant David. And it was a great victory there too. I don't have time to tell you all of that. But the point is, this man had a bad report, and he prayed, and God extended his life 15 years. Prayer works. Let's all stand, please.